call nefesh nefesh Yisraelis or nefesh Hashenis, the second identity, which is an imbuement, an endowment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means that Avodas Hashem is much simpler. Avodas Hashem doesn't mean traveling somewhere, finding something, accessing something. It means it's just within you. And it also means that as far as you fall, you're still recoverable, because you can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you can't run away from yourself. Those are the two bylines of Chassidus. It takes the entire world of Avodas Hashem and makes it very, very different. I don't want to say simpler, but it makes it less complicated, because I don't have to find Hashem anywhere. Hashem is within me. Now, this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within every Jew, again, one of the revolutions of the Sefer is that he uses metaphors in very creative new ways. And part of the reason he's so creative and novel is because he's drawing from Zohar. So his pool of ideas is much larger than just, when I think of a metaphor, I think of metaphors on an emotional plane. So what does a boat represent to me? What is a storm rip? So I'm thinking about it, what emotions I bring to those experiences, then I can use the metaphor. So there was a stormy shear. I mean, there's a stormy shear. There's no rain in the shear. Okay, the shear was very, very tumultuous. So my metaphors are borrowed from the world of experience and emotion. But once you live in the world of Kabbalah, then all of a sudden you have a deeper pool of ideas that you can use for metaphors. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indescribable, there's just a lot of metaphors that are being used, and like everything else, you can't understand Hashem. So everything is an approximation. If you ask me to define Hashem, so one way I would define HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the accumulated knowledge that I have of His will. Migo and Shavua and Shtaros and Nezikin and Shomrim. If I took all of the knowledge of Torah that I had and articulated them and integrated them, that would be my approximation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I can't describe Him. Any other word I use would be totally incompatible with Hashem. So the only way I can describe Him, so in the Tanya, if you ask a Lubavitcher Chassid to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would use the metaphors that the Sefer HaTanya describes, and by saying two or three metaphors, okay, they're not really, doesn't really mean that, but at least I can, just like when, if I used to describe Hashem, you say Hashem's your father. Is Hashem really your father? Chas v'shalom. Is Hashem really your, no, he's not your father, but you have, is Hashem really your friend? No, but you have the right to superimpose the world of interpersonal relationships to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that it gives you an approximation. Everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an approximation. Because you can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Tanya, the way that you approximate Hashem is by thinking of the metaphors for your relationship with Hashem. And I want to describe two more metaphors in Perek Beis, in addition to the metaphor we saw last time. The metaphor we saw last time is Hashem breathed into us, Nishmas Ruchu. Again, that doesn't mean that Hashem went like this. Hashem doesn't have breath. Hashem doesn't have a diaphragm. Hashem doesn't have air. But in our world, whatever Hashem did, the imbuement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shas Bria is closest in our world to me breathing onto you. So if I, let's say CPR. Right? If I breathe CPR into you, I'm breathing from my depths of my diaphragm. I'm breathing oxygen into you. Now you have my oxygen in you. Literally, the oxygen that came from my lungs is now in your body, and therefore you can live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliver His apav. Okay? So let's read Perek Beis. Okay? Kain, or Kach, this is line number 6 of Perek Beis. Ayin Dalet Mem? Anyone know? Al Das Mashal. As another mashal. So there's another parable, another metaphor. Nishamos Yisrael Alu B'machshava. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings through Dibur. But the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our souls were alu b'machshava, were part of His machshava. Now the literal meaning is that He thought about it ahead of time. And when He created other human beings, it was something which is more metaphoric and more just formulaic. But I thought about Am Yisrael because they're my chosen people. So when I crafted Am Yisrael, there's more thought imbued in the entire process. That's a simple reading. But when you describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshava is not separate from Him. If something comes into my mind, that doesn't define me. I'm thinking about Elion Hovick right now. So I am me, and my mind, my intellect now is thinking about Elion Hovick. But those are two separate processes. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Rambam says repeatedly in Hilchos Yisrael De'Atara, in Hilchos Tshuva, and I give you these really fascinating Rambams, just to know how different HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from us, His intellect isn't separate from His essence. In the same way that our intellect is separate from our essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Machshava are one and the same. You can see this in Yisrael De'etar Perek Beis. You can see this in Echos Tshuva. So I'm skipping a couple lines. It says, Kol Ish Yisrael Nimshecha Mi Machshavta V'Chachmasa Yisbarach. The Ihu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chachim, v'lo b'chachma yediya, but not knowing in the way we would understand Chachma, Elohu v'chachma so echad. They're one integrated essence. Moshe Kasef HaRambam, he quotes the Rambam, Shehu HaMada v'ho yodea. The davar zeh ain't be a cholos adam lavino abari. You can't really understand that about Hashem because you don't live that. So you can't understand what it means to have an intellect that's part of you because your intellect isn't part of you, right? Take a look, chas v'shalom, someone who has dementia or someone that has Alzheimer's. So their personality is still there. Okay, the personality is affected also, but let's say someone loses their intellect. So someone has a stroke. So the personality is still there. They've lost their intellect. So the intellect is a separate aspect. It's located in a certain part of the brain. That brain can be affected, and you can lose your intellect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma is not separate from him. So therefore, if we were Ole B'machshava, if we were part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshava, then we were part of him. So if you're looking for another metaphor to understand why the second nefesh that I have is part of Hashem, because it was Ole B'machshava, it was part of, not Hashem didn't plan it, didn't think about it, and it was in his Machshava. And any part that's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshava is part of HaKadosh Baruch. That's the second metaphor. The third metaphor of this parak, these are the three famous metaphors of the second parak. The third metaphor of the parak is, going back a couple lines, B'ni B'chari Yisrael. You are my children. Again, non-Kabbalah, B'ni B'chari Yisrael means, we're Hashem's children, we're his beloved, he takes care of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us from Mitzrayim, we're his Sabbat HaMatam L'Hashem Elokechem. But in Kabbalah, he's going to dig deeply into how a child comes from a father. Now, let me give a word of introduction. Ironically, that's what makes so ironic. Science, which so many people feel contradicts and conflicts with mysticism, science helps us understand mysticism, as long as we know that it deals with only one segment of the world and there's another segment. So, for example, science can explain how this marker exists, what the materials are, what the polymers are, what the mechanism is. Yeah, but what's the spiritual substrate? There's obviously something underneath it. This is just material. What makes the ocean stay? What makes not the physical aspects, but what's underneath it? What's the spiritual substrate? It's not just mechanics, not just quantum mechanics, not just physicality. And the more that science bears down, the more we realize that science at a certain point becomes like quantum mechanics, unknowable and unpredictable. And there's got to be something spiritual underneath. And mysticism and Kabbalah studies that spiritual substrate. So how do you come from your father? Well, you come from your father because of his zera. So your father's zera is in you. Now, how does scientifically what happens with that zera? Well, the zera contains DNA. And the DNA that the zera delivers to your birth dictates everything from your eyes, your hair, your fingernails, your father and your mother. But at least in Kabbalah, the physical parts come from your father. So the basic Gemara Nida, your blood and your eyes and your hair, and they come from the father, basically Gemara Nida. So now let's read this together. So if we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, what does it mean to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, DNA-wise and Kabbalistically-wise? So let's read what he says. He says, turn the page to 12. Okay? Wait a second. Okay, well, I'll read a little bit out of order. Kimashal, I'll start with line number 10, 11. It starts with the word kivayachal. Kimashal haben, hanimshach mimoach ha'av, shafilu tziparnei raglav. Even your fingernails on your toes, nishavu mitipa zu mamish, come from the zera of your father. Again, right now, let's assume the father, let's assume that division in the Gemara. Without skewing your father and mother, science suggests that maybe it's more of a mix, but let's assume right now, it's not important, but father, mother. Kimashal kasav, because of the 9-month gestation period, v'yarda mi madrega le madrega lihtanos lisavos mimenesi pornayim. And how does your father's zera become your fingernails? Well, now we know because it translates DNA protein to protein to protein to protein to protein until it becomes a fingernail. Like, how does the zera? How you can't be born without sperm? Yeah, but your fingernails don't look like sperm. So how do your fingernails come from sperm? The answer is the DNA unfolds. So here you have science helping us understand. You just create one protein after another protein after another protein, and then it becomes fingernails, depending on what material you're creating. Now, of course, that's the scientific aspect. What's driving it? Something spiritual, something larger. So the same way that in science, everything about me comes from my father, Okay, the yardam v'adrega l'adrega, the imkol zeh odena kishur miyuchedes v'yichon nifla v'yatzum. It's still part of my father. If you took this fingernail, you could find my father's DNA. You could find similar DNA. So it looks totally different, but still integrated with my father. Okay, the kacha mamish. Now I'm skipping a couple lines to the line that begins with the word mibchina. The kacha mamish kevayachal b'shoresh kol hanefesh ruach haneshama. We'll talk about these terms later. These are three very important terms in Chassidus. They mean different parts of identity. This is going to be a very, very sophisticated deconstruction of identity. There's going to be many, many layers to identity, many, many systems. It's fascinating, really fascinating, that someone could think so sophisticated about what makes up a human being through the terms of Kabbalah. Lemala, okay. Ayideh hishtal shulos haolamos. Very important word. Line begins with the word lemadrega. Ayideh hishtal shulos haolamos aleph beis yud ayin. Anyone know what that acronym is? Aleph beis yud ayin? No. These are the four worlds between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the four worlds, right? And the four worlds through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence trickles down to create us. Kivayachal, the same way that a father's sperm trickles down through the protein creating process to create my fingernails. What are those four words, Ariel? Atzilus, Ria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And Asiya. What? Now, we occupy a very, very minor part of that fourth world. So our universe is a small part of the world of Asiya. Asiya, Ayin. Ayin, Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. And in the upper worlds, everything is very ethereal, very, very abstract, very conceptual. There's nothing physical. And as Hashem's, again, Hashem is the Ein Self. If you just want to have a basic review of the worlds, okay, if anyone will look at me, because you probably never heard this before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So he's beyond worlds and beyond space. That's called Ein Self. And then the four worlds trickle down. The four worlds are Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. In between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Self and that first world, which is very, very abstract and very, very ethereal and very, very non-physical, is Torah. I will say this is the Nefesh HaChayim. The Torah is above the worlds. So Torah occupies, which is why Torah affects all the worlds, because it's beyond the worlds. It's separate from the worlds and it trickles down to all the worlds. And of course, as we'll see in HaChayim, when you learn today Halach, since everything in Kabbalah is bidirectional, you are affecting that which affects every world. So if you ask me who's doing more to solve world peace, a diplomat or someone in the base medrash, who's doing more to solve corona, a scientist or someone in the base medrash, in Reb Chaim's world, because when you're learning Torah, you're affecting Torah, which is the trigger point for welfare for all the universe, so obviously you're affecting more than someone who's just occupying a small little cell in the world of Asiya and solving cancer or solving AIDS or solving corona or providing food, whatever. Yes, Mordechai. Let's wait for the Nefesh HaChayim. Let's stick to the time. I just wanted to put into reference. Okay, that we'll see in the Nefesh HaChayim in the Shaar Dalet. We'll go through it after your test Kislev. Okay, so let me just finish Messiah Ben Yamin. Okay, and he says, so therefore I day yishtal shulus ha'olamos aleph beis yudayin atzilus b'ri yitzir asir mechachmasa yisbarach kidechsev kulam mechachmasisa. I just want to read one line to show you how careful he was about these words and how much he added words. So look in the word, the line that begins with the word neshama, im kozeh odena, all the souls of Jews, odena kishuros umiyuchados biyichud nifla viatzum bimahusan viatzmusan harishon shuam shachas chachma ilah. Again, in Chabad, this is almost like a phrase that you chant. Every word the Rebbe wrote was chosen carefully. Yichud atzum v'nifla bimahusan viatzmusan harishon. That even though you're separate from Hashem, since you came, just like, again, I'm using signs that you understand Kabbalah, which should shock you, but I just want you to see that they're not separate. Your father's not here now, right? I know your father, they're not here right now. But he is here, because if I took any part of your body, I could find him. And 200 years ago, we would not know that. But now we know that if I took a swab from your saliva, there'd be your father. So that means you're still connected to your father. Yichud atzim v'nifla, which we would say means genetically. And that's our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because we were mishaveh from Hashem, just like the sperm through the protein channel unfolds and creates all your body parts, Kadosh Baruch Hu's machshava created every single nefesh Yisraelis, which means you are connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'yichud atzim v'nifla. That's the thesis of the second para. Nefesh aloka bimal mamish, three metaphors. Metaphor number one, breath. Metaphor number two, thought. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu's thought is essential, not separate. Metaphor number three, I call it DNA, genetics. He calls histalshalus of the lobe of the father. It's amazing how, if you don't see them as contrary, they're complementary. Okay? Binyamin, and then I'll just add one line. Yes, Binyamin.
What is the NWO paper where we say Hashem Rolik seven times? Like, what is that for? Seven worlds?
Some say seven, some say ten, but there are four worlds, but maybe within each world, the lattice through which Hashem's presence trickles down is multi-parted, multi-sectional. That could either be seven or ten. But there aren't seven worlds, or seven worlds to the rear, there are four worlds, but within each, how many, it's called spheros. How many lattices, do they move down seven or ten, that we'll see later. Right. Within each world. Okay? Now, one additional element, just because it's something that you need to understand. He struggles with the issue, but how could that be true? Your fingernails, Yoni, let's say, they're all the same. One is longer than the other, one is whatever, but they're all the same fingernails. I can understand how those fingernails that are all similar in stature and in strength and in whatever, however we gauge fingernails, they all came from your father's DNA. But what happens when you've got, and of course you're different than Zev because you came from your father's DNA, and Zev came from his father's DNA. So we can account for differences, but one DNA creates one similar. The variations between your fingernails and your nose are just they're incomparable. They're just because the proteins evolve differently. But how do we account for the fact that there are different nefashos be Yisrael that all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshava? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshava is essential and non-divisible, then how could your neshama be different from my neshama? Do all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he accounts for this as something really fascinating, and this is what people don't understand in Hasidus. It's not, how should I say, it's a hierarchy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hishtalshalos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's trickle down and emanation, create Jewish neshamos, but not all neshamos are created the same. And if you are less of a neshama, then here's the key point that non-Hasidim don't understand, and quite frankly is very striding to non-Hasidim. You receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hishtalshalos through a higher neshama. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshava, and this would be your neshama. It trickles down through Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama to you. So it's not that you just receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct Hishtalshalos, because if that were true, then you'd be Moshe Rabbeinu, or arguably the Vikr Tzaddik. But you are just like, and that's why he uses the fingernail mashal, the fingernail comes from your body. So it's almost as if the sperm or the DNA comes and creates the fingernail, which is at the end of the body. And then, of course, we know that not to be true, it comes from the DNA as well. But in his metaphor, and this is what people don't understand about the Rebbe. In Hasidus, the Rebbe plays a role that is, I say, cosmological. He's a conduit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hishtalshalos. It's almost as if he's the fifth world, just like Hashem's presence has to trickle down through worlds. Well, in this world, Hashem's presence trickles down through the Rebbe. That's why being a Rebbe in Hasidus is not meritocracy, it's genetic. It's not how smart you are, or how much Torah you know, how good a posek you are. It's, do you have the genes? Because it's not something that you can award. It's not that human beings can decide, oh, you're going to be the conduit for Hashem's presence to trickle down. And what is it? Who decides to be the conduit? Hashem decides the conduit is. And Hashem pre-programmed it in the genes. And second of all, that's why Hasidim pay so much homage to their Rebbe, not because it's idol worship, and not because it's hero worship, it's because by clinging to the Rebbe, then I'm allowing myself to receive more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hishtalshalos, which I can't do on my own, sitting in a corner, being the kind of mitzvah lulav. The person that developed this the most was Rabbi Melech Luzansk. He wrote a lot about the role of the tzaddik and the purpose of the tzaddik. But for people that are not involved in the world of Hasidus, it's very hard for them to understand it. Like, what does it mean? Why are you eating the food that the Rebbe touched? Why are you giving all your money to the Rebbe? Why are you carrying one a chariot? It's ridiculous. It's just a different system. Our system is meritocracy. Just like, for example, I told you a story before. One of the hardest things for my father to understand, when I came home and announced I went to go into Chinuch, he said, okay, after he had five heart attacks, but after he finally wrapped his head around it, he said, okay, but, just make sure you marry the right person, because if you want to be a Rebbe somewhere, you need to have the right last name or marry the right person. And I said, nah, but that's not the way it works in a place like Gersh, in a place like, my world. you just sit and learn. And if you have the talent and you know you're the right person, they'll hire you. And my father couldn't understand that because in the yeshiva world, it's not true. In many, many parts of the yeshiva world, it's changing a little bit. In many parts of the yeshiva world, not just the Hasidic world, you can be a second-rate Talmid Chacham, but if you are the son of, or if you are the son-in-law of, you become the Rosh Yeshiva. And the bigger Talmid Chacham can be over there, and very often he has to leave because you know he threatens because he's such a big Talmid Chacham. It's just a different system. To us, it seems unfair because we built a system based on meritocracy. Okay, there are certain strengths of meritocracy, so we're winning some meritocracy, and then we don't talk about the nuts. In Hasidus, the whole system is built differently. So the biggest mistakes in life is when you judge a system based on your own values, or your own norms. If you climb into the system and understand, you say, okay, I choose that this system, I keep telling you, Haredi marry, and then their marriages are healthier in many respects than ours, or just as healthy. Okay, I chose to marry within the system. I prefer the system. So when I'm in the system, I have to operate within the system. And for me to get married before I know my wife for a couple of weeks or months, whatever, it would be absurd. But don't try to judge. It's so much judgmentalism where you're outside of the system. You're looking outside. Oh, yeah, it must be this. It must be that. They're hero worship. They're just making fun of them. It's not. It's very, very deep ideas that you can choose. Don't fit you. Don't fit your background. It's not the idea where you want to lead your life. But they have inherent coherence. Inherently, they make sense, and they're based on deep ideas. I'll just read one or two lines in this Perek Beis, so you'll have a reference point. Okay, so please open up Perek Beis again. And he talked about all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here is where he says, on the bottom of page one, page Vav, V'av sheyesh ribavos mine chaluke madregos b'neshamos, even though there are thousands and tens of thousands of levels of neshamos, the bottom of page Vav, the first page, gavol gavol, now we're turning the page Lein Kef, infinite, kimo goldel milos neshamos avos emosh rebeinu levashalom al neshamos darasein. Certainly you can't compare our neshamos to Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama, even though they all come from Hashem. Okay, the chain behold dar vadar, line number three, yesh rashi alpha Yisrael, you've got leaders of the Jewish people, great people, shenishmo same heim bechinas rosh imach, they could be considered the head, legabe neshamos hamon, as opposed to the regular people, the chain nefashos legabe nefashos, ki kol nefesh kolulu b'nefesh rov neshamo, etc. Okay, he says, kol hamadregos atzof kol dargin, I'm skipping a line, hamalubash v'guf ameyaretz, no matter what that person is, it could be the biggest on the arts, v'kal shebekalim, nimshach mimoach ha'elyon, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is moach, she'chachma ila kivayachal, kimashal ha'ben. They all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though there's a shtal shalos through those higher neshamas. Okay, again, I'm not expecting you to become a chassid, I'm expecting you to, I just want you to understand something that has shaped the mind and the experience of millions and millions of Jews over the last 200 years. And these are people that are educated, that are thoughtful. One of the biggest mistakes people make, by the way, and Ariel and Boaz can verify this. If you go over to a Chabad and you call him Haredi, he'll look at you like you're a lunatic. He says, you're calling me a Haredi, you're a Haredi. Come to my house and look at a Chabad's library. You'll see more books in your library, and they're better well-read than you are, and they're more elegant than you are. There are some overlaps between Chabad and the Haredi world. Yeah. First of all, State of Israel, the overlap is not that much. They're strong supporters of the State of Israel. Army is a little bit, they don't serve in the army as much, but many of them do serve in the army. The dress looks, and of course, we all know you can judge a book by its cover, right? So the dress looks Haredi. It really, it's not that. I spent a lot of time with, and I don't mean Chabad, you know, the guy who offers food when you go to Las Vegas. I mean real, not that that's not real, but real thoughtful Talmidei Chachamim, people of the world. I've been at Chabad homes, which I felt like a pauper. Like I felt like I'm the one without class. And I think I'm a pretty classy guy. Like, oh my goodness, I got to step up my game. These people are really talking above me. These people, you know, it's so beautiful and so royal and so elegant. And in a way that maybe your average Bel is a Chassid word now. Let's say you walk to your average Bel is a Chassid house. It may, for other reasons, told the Zara, you may not feel that the elegance is what carries the day. Other things may carry the day. But just be careful. Just want to open your minds just to, you live in such mind traps to realize these are deep ideas that thoughtful people live by and believe in, and they're not cavemen, and they're not less educated than you are. You can decide, as most of you probably will decide and should decide, that it's not going to be the way you're going to lead the next 30, 40 years of your life when you're still establishing your processors of how to be an Ovad Hashem. You'll follow the Masara of Rabbi Soloveitchik and the Masara of Lichtenstein, the Masara of, you know, more or less what you're exposed to in yeshiva. But just know that there's this very, very deep world out there that's valid and that's legitimate. And like everything else. It's true, but you have to choose which truth to live. You can't live every single truth. Is there a world of Kabbalah out there? Yes. Do I choose to live it? No, because I've got enough in this small little part of the world of Asiya, enough to occupy me several million lifetimes. So I'm not going to, quote unquote, diffuse my energy to worlds that I can't see and can't understand based on the way I was brought up. And other people say, you know what? It's very healthy for me to operate in multiple worlds at once. Okay, you choose. Choose how you want to spend your energy. Okay.